So, you guys know that we were out of town.
Get back.
It's just a gorgeous day.
Today. I'm gonna shout. Yeah, that's cool. So I haven't been down to the beach a little while, and I went down there. I'm gonna go to Crystal Cove.
That worked.
So I go down to Crystal Cove, and I thought it was the title of the movie. Dude, Where's My Beach? And went down there, the whole thing has changed.
Really?
Completely different. Looks nothing like it looked this summer. It looks flat like Huntington Flats. Like Bulls, well, not like Bulls here, but maybe like Lackeys. And it's all shallow, wide, and the rocks are, there's rocks where they weren't rocks before, and there's no, the sand's been cut down 4 feet. I thought, wow, you guys must have had some waves while we were gone.
Yeah.
Jet waves?
Yeah,
big ones.
Big ones?
Yeah.
They carved that place out and moved it all around. Yeah. It was shocking to me. Because I've been hanging out, catching waves there this summer and stuff. It was that odd feeling of being in a place that should be familiar and yet it was alien. Now, I know about beach dynamics, because that's the cycle of beaches. If you've ever lived close to Newport or spent time down there, you know that the peninsula changes all the time. Every summer, the sand piles up, and every winter, it carves out a 6-foot berm and then pushes the sand out offshore. But it was shocking to me to be there and to see it, not expecting it. It's like seeing old friends you haven't seen in 15, 20 years. They show up and they got kids. And I'm like, freshmen, seventh graders. It's completely shocking. You look familiar or not familiar at all. And I'm sure it's just as shocking for you guys. Or more so. We've been working on aging harder than you have. Is that a bizarre thing? But it took me a minute to be okay with it. That, all right, these are cycles. This is how the universe works. Because if you think about it, the universe flies in. The universe moves in cycles. We have diurnal cycles, daytime, nighttime. We eat, we get hungry shortly afterward. We have a cup of coffee, we need another cup of coffee. Another cup of coffee, we need a cappuccino. Then with a cappuccino, we need a latte. Something like that. We sleep, we wake, the seasons go around. Everything cycles, the tides come in, the tides go out, the earth is busy making laps around the sun. All spinning on its axis while the moon's spinning around the earth. Everything's going in cycles. Everything that the Lord has created in the universe runs on these cycles. And if you fight them, you make life difficult for yourself. I wanted my beach to be the same. And because it was at the same GPS coordinates. I mean, the GPS coordinates didn't change. It's right there. It was the same directions to get there. But the beach had cycled out underneath me. And that was uncomfortable for me. So I had to get okay with it. But the universe runs on these rhythms. And they're part of what anchor us in life. Ecclesiastes, if you go there. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. We're familiar with this. Starting verse 2. Now this guy's really frustrated with cycles. Just a sort of a warning pre... Not a warner. It's a warner. Don't! A lot of warners are here. Don't! So, a little warning. Actually, this is still, I'm shouting too much. Makes me want to be quiet. I don't want to be quiet. This guy's warning, or a little bit of warning about this guy. This guy is upset about the cycles of life. He doesn't like them. And he's a little cynical. So we go into it and let's hear. Emptiness of emptiness, or vanity of vanity, says the preacher. Vanity of vanity. All is vanity. What advantage does man have in all his work which he does under the sun? And now he's the poet and the copyist. A generation goes and a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. Also, the sun rises and the sun sets. He's sounding like Eeyore. Hastening again to the place it rises never again. Blowing toward the south, turning toward the north. Wind continues swirling along. On its circular courses, the wind returns. All the rivers flow into the sea, but the sea's not full. To the place where the rivers flow, there they flow again. All things are wearisome. Man is not able to tell it. The eye isn't satisfied with seeing, nor is the ear filled with hearing. That which has been is that which will be, and that which has been done is that which will be done. So there's nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which one might say, see, it's new? It already existed for ages which were before us. Cycles. He's got a handle on something. The wind goes round and round and round. Evaporation comes up and the clouds hurry and they dump it on the land. Where does it go? Runs right back to where it came. Round and round. But cycles anchor us. To you. Turn to Ecclesiastes, would you? How should I hope once? Been there before. Cycle. Been there before. You've opened up that book. How many times as a little kid did you try to learn to read? Do you remember going through that process? You have to keep going back to it, keep, until you habituate something. And when you habituate something, that pattern, that cycle gets into you, and now you can do it. Imagine if you were trying to get, I'll bet you took exactly the same pathway here this morning as you always do. Driving. Right? Imagine if all the streets shifted on you. What did it change today? It was sort of like Inception or one of those movies. You get up in the morning, all the streets are different places. You gotta find new pathways every time you do something. What if you had to drive using different behaviors? What if you got in your car and the gear shift was over here? The blinker was up on top of the roof. The lights are underneath the seats. The heater is on the back of the headrest.
You adapt.
You adapt. And how do you adapt?
Over and over,
you find out where it is, you get through it, then you get in your car the next day, and they're all in different places again. Wouldn't that be fun? Imagine right? How much energy you would expend if you didn't know how to dress yourself in the morning again. It's like watching a little baby go. You're like, there's a little guy in there somewhere pushing buttons and moving levers. What is this until it's like, it does it every time I do that thing in here. Yeah. Right? Our lives are anchored by patterns. They're anchored by cycles. They're anchored in habits. And so we have this love-hate relationship with habits. We want things to be new. I mean, the author of Ecclesiastes wants things to be new. Because is there anything in which you can say, hey, this is new? No, there's not. But we long for new, don't we? We're exploring creatures as well as creatures of habit. So there's this tension that's in us all the time between the old and the new. We want regularity, but we also want chaos. And it's difficult for us. And there's something very illusory about patterns. we go through our, okay, you get a, do you have a morning routine?
Yes.
You know, that morning routine allows you to negotiate with life. If you had to invent that morning routine every morning and do it a different way, which I dare you to do things differently today, just try doing things differently today.
Have a child.
Don't make it different for you. And what do you spend all of your time trying to get that child to do?
Follow her routine. That's number two. On the second show.
Or number one.
Number one, you're like, what am I doing?
Yeah. Yeah. The first part is, I have no idea what this is all about.
Yeah,
we'll get to that in a second. Absolutely. So, those allow us to negotiate life, but there's something illusory about patterns. Patterns give us the false impression that things recur. They use the false impression that we did the same thing over and over again. We think that we've done the same thing. We get up, make coffee exactly the same way. It's all about coffee this morning. It's a pattern. Get up, make coffee the same way. It feels like I did the same old thing, but I didn't. I did something new in an old way. To me, the pattern remains, but the reality is it's changing. Because as familiar as that beach down there feels to me, that sand has never been in the same place. That water has never been in the same place. Those air molecules have never been in the same place. You've never seen sunset twice. It's always a dance. It's a symphony. Imagine charting all the pathways of all those molecules in the air. Lord's got okay, I have coordinates for all of them. Make that sunset. That's why I think it's a good thing to do a great sunset. You'll never see that one again. The music will never be played exactly the same way again. It looks like it's the same, but it's actually quite new. So we like things the same, and we experience them the same, but we also experience things completely different. The familiar is a strange illusion to us. And it can deceive us into thinking that things can stay the same.
What did you do at the beach? Sure.
Right at the beach?
What did you do?
I walked on it and explored it because it was the view. It was in the same place, but it wasn't the same beach. And I hurried because the sun was setting. It was really fun until the guy asked me for a solo. But that's another story for another time. That's another sermon for another time. Turn a little later on in Ecclesiastes. Chapter 2:12. So I turn to consider wisdom, madness, and folly. Oh, wait, is this guy impressive or what? He is impressive. So I turn to consider wisdom, madness, and folly. For what will the man do who will come after the king except what has already been done? And I saw that wisdom excels folly as light excels darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. Yet I know that one fate befalls them both. Then I said to myself, as is the fate of the fool, so will also befall me. Why then have I been extremely wise? So I said to myself, this too is vanity. For there is no lasting remembrance of the wise man as of the fool, inasmuch as in the coming days all will be forgotten. And how the wise man and the fool alike die. Don't hang out with this guy, by the way. He makes his way from bar to bar everywhere. So I hated life, for the work which had been done under the sun was grievous to me, because everything is futile and grasping at the wind. So here's the difficulty. He says things just repeat and repeat and repeat and repeat, but then he says, no, you go through it and you die and that's it. This is a little conflicted. He's noting on the one hand that everything tends to repeat except you. You don't repeat. You just go through the linear process and die. That's kind of frustrating. Everything gets to repeat but you. Turn over to chapter 12. He gets really good there. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and years draw near when you say, I have no delight in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened, and the clouds return after rain. You hear the poetic metaphor? He's talking about aging. He says, before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened, and the clouds return after the rain. In the day that the watchmen of the house tremble, and mighty men stoop, and the grinding ones stand idle, because they're few. And those who look through the window grow dim. And the doors on the street are shut, as the sound of the grinding mill is low, and one will arise at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of Solomon will be soft. I can't hear the music, but would you shut up that bird? Furthermore, men are afraid of a high place and terrors on the road, and the almond tree blossoms, that's that idea of silver hair. The grasshopper drags himself along, and the capybara is ineffective. For man goes to his eternal home, while the mourners go about in sin. Remembering before the silver cord is broken, and the golden bowl is crushed, and the pitcher by the well is shattered, and the wheel at the cistern is crushed. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God again. Emptiness of emptiness, says the preacher, all is empty. So the only kind of cycling going on here, recycling, is dust. But you don't get the chance. You go straight through and die, and you age in a very linear process, which is rather discouraging. So we are people both of linear process and of cycles. There's cycles that run our lives, but there's also a linear progression that we can't get away from. Kind of saw this this year. Congratulating me, ladies and gentlemen. All of the decorations are put away at our house. All the Christmas lights, yes, put away. All the Christmas decorations are put away.
Did you ever get them out?
No.
I actually put everything away last night. Like, all of a sudden, I found somebody, a kindred spirit, and
I beat you to it. I put it away last year.
Congratulations.
Can you talk to my wife about that?
Congratulations.
Well, I had encouragement.
Yeah. You would put away those decorations now?
To Devin's wife.
But the funny thing is, we've had these decorations for years, and we do the decoration thing every year. We've killed 3 live Christmas trees. Each year we get a live Christmas tree saying it's going to be green. Each year within a month or two it's brown. It's a long story, but it happened. One year our neighbor came over and planted it
in our driveway.
That's another story for another time. But we have the decorations planned in these cycles, and you do the same thing. You break those out, and they gain sentimentality every time you break them out and put them up and go through the thing. And then we didn't do it this year. And I only realized in retrospect, last year was our last family Christmas. Kimberly moved out this summer. It just kind of happened in the blur of the day-to-day. And Kimberly moved out this summer. And really, we didn't know it at the time, but last June was our last family Christmas. And that was partly why we didn't decorate. Merry Christmas, honey. Merry Christmas. Okay, let me draw you a tree. Great. Some presents. Jingle bells. Would you like to unwrap this Twix bar? Okay. Sometimes in the middle of the patterns, you cross a horizon that you didn't know you were crossing. Because you're in the middle of the patterns. And then somebody shows up 17 years later with a kid, and you realize, oh my gosh, I'm old. Or you realize, oh hey, that was my family at Christmas. Because we go through life backward, and we see the things passing behind us. We don't see the things before, so we keep hoping that we'll look forward, but we can't. Our heads are locked backwards. We're driving back with you, like, oh, hey, that was that important moment. As the patterns keep carrying us forward with the illusion that we're doing the same thing, but we're not doing the same thing, we're doing something new, because we're spiraling forward in life. So turn to Luke chapter 2, please. He's just the silent guy going. Mary gets to talk, Elizabeth gets to talk, Zechariah only gets to talk part of the time. But right?
Yeah.
But Joseph.
No lines.
He's just a doer. He's a doer guy. Get him done. You know? Gonna have a baby. Yeah, the name of Jesus. Take him down to Egypt. Marry the girl. Silent guy. Kind of all right. Every year.
Think
how weird it would have been to have been married. Angel, you shall have a child of the Holy Spirit. And then what do? Lunch? What happens? What do you do with this pregnancy? What are you going to do about this great, you're going to take care of the great Messiah pregnancy by having breakfast, lunch, dinner, going to bed, day in the morning, going to clean the house.
Adapting.
Back in the ordinary patterns. And then the pregnancy just kind of develops on its own. It'll be bigger. Oh, it's got to go do the census thing. Oh, the manger. Have a baby. Big event there. Angels out with the shepherds.
Peace on earth. Goodwill to man. Go see the miracle. They go see the miracle. And after that?
Back to routine. Feed him. Wipe him. Change him.
Wash him? Feed him? Wipe him? Change him? I mean, how do you take care of God? You? Wipe him? Change him? No other developments. I would think that there would be a great golden manual.
The special golden glasses. This is how you take care of the God child. You know,
do we put him in a prep school? What? Teach him to talk. Teach him to eat. Teach him to clothe himself. Teach him all the patterns that are just through life. And here's Joseph going. Passover every year. The patterns. He's involved in the liturgy of the calendar of Israel. The Passover feast, you know, Feast of Booths, the Feast of Yom Kippur, all these different kinds of feasts. Israel was locked into this cycle of feasts because it reminded them who they were. And feasts and tradition anchor our identities culturally and religiously. And Joseph just... We're going to the feast again. That's what we do every year. We go to the feast. What do you do at the feast? We do the Passover thing. What's the Passover thing? Well, we do like a lamb thing, and then we feast, and then we get back on our camels, and we go home. Same old thing every year. How long did we do it? Long time. At least from the time of the return after the exile. Probably not too much before that. You can read about Hezekiah later. Okay, good. But they've been doing it for hundreds of years, these people. And Joseph just kind of gets on, as everybody else does, this cycle. And the cycles of tradition, cycles of church, cycles of liturgy and ritual are a lot like getting on a train. It's weird that you can look in a book and say, when is the train coming? Because the train's on its cycle. Does it stay? But your journey is unique. You're taking a unique journey on a repetitive train. And then you can predict when you get back on the train and come back off of it. But your journey is unique. In the same way with liturgy, with the calendar, with the holidays, they're going and we join them. We join the tradition, we participate in the tradition, and then time takes off of the tradition. And we get off the train, and the mourners go about their home. But Joseph, he takes his family every year. And at first, then stop poking and donking. And it's a little bit warm. Stop pouring rocks. And it's a little bit warm. Help with your sister. And it seems like you're doing the same thing over and over again. But there's change occurring. There's growth taking place. And every year, Jesus is learning about the temple and about the Passover. And they're telling the Passover stories as they're going to the temple for the Passover. I always wonder what Joseph taught Jesus. Maybe it's kept out of the scriptures for a reason. Because otherwise we have... He does have self-help books on raising your child, Joseph's way. Your child would be really a god. I read Ecclesiastes too much.
Maybe it was the other way around.
Yeah. You use Raising Joseph. Yeah. That's the new book, Raising Your Parents. How to raise your parents God's way. How to raise parents every year. And when he became 12, they went up there according to the custom of the feast. They do the same custom. And as they were returning, after spending the full number of days, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents were unaware of it. Then Child Protection Services came and took them to jail. You got to remember that a boy becomes a man about the age of 12. Bar mitzvah at 12. So he's at that age where he's emancipated. And they travel as families.
traveling caravans. And by the age of 12, he should be able to take care of himself and stick with the group. And they're taking care of him. We know that he had brothers and sisters because later on they think he's crazy. So we know that he has family. And he's old enough to stay with the group and get kind of strung along the caravan in the big route of pilgrims anyway. He knows the route because, hey, they've done this 12 times. They do it every year. It's not a big deal. They know the route. It's like hiking in a canyon. But suppose the boy should stay behind in Jerusalem. His parents were unaware of it, but supposed him to be in the caravan and went a day's journey. And they began looking for him among their relatives and acquaintances. This is a mob pilgrimage. Pilgrimages are old school throughout Israelite history and with the church as well. Then after 3 days, or so, when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem looking for him. Now where would you go, by the way, if you were looking for your lost kid?
You'd retrace your steps.
You would retrace your steps. It's the first place you'd go. Back to Jerusalem. For other kids. To the skateboard park. Science skateboard park. It takes you right from the whole mountain down. Which is where skating will take you. Where would you go? You would go to the inn where you stayed. You would go to the shops where you shopped. You would go to the restaurants that you went to. Think about it. If you went to Washington, D.C., and you had a family trip to the inauguration of the next, oh Lord, helpless president of the United States, whatever that might be. But anyway, you did that. You would go back to the motel you stayed in. You would go back to the mall. You wouldn't go back to the Capitol. The Passover, remember, the Passover isn't celebrated at the temple per se. It's celebrated by families in homes with family meals. You're not thinking temple. Because the temple is, it's like the mall. Okay? That's not where the kid's going to go. The kid's going to go where you went, among the relatives that you went. But he went to the temple. Then after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And there's a little Jesus going, but what about? And then you give him an answer, and he listens. He's listening. He's not just giving answers. He's listening. This is a learning boy, slash almost man, making his emergence into being a rabbi scholar. He's there at the temple, having theological discussions. Which, of course, is where every 12-year-old boy is going to be. Yeah. I'm going to rat out Miranda. So, what'd you get for Christmas, Miranda?
I got a Greek New Testament.
Yeah. What were you doing before service?
I was showing it to you.
Yeah. So, a Greek New Testament. Show it to everybody.
Here we go.
Cool.
Yeah.
Pretty.
Woo!
Yeah. Yeah. It's not Greek to me.
She's geeking. She was totally geeking before the service. And here's John Devon, the worst team. Look what she got. I showed it to her. And John did go, ooh, oh, yeah. Oh, well, too. They're geeking out, too. There's times where you think it's a normal, you know, you're used to turning through your Bible, but there are times of growth. And Jesus is geeking. He's geeking at the temple going, I want answers. I've got questions. I am growing. Which is strange to think about Jesus doing, but it's the reality of what happened. And in the middle of those patterns, there's this interruption, and he crosses a horizon that they only see the head. He crossed this horizon from being a child to being someone who was, and I'm saying this especially to you guys, seeking the Lord on his own.
talking about things the Lord on his own. He's not just in the trailer with the family following the pattern. This is his now. He has questions. He has dialogue. He wants to sit with the rabbis. He wants the UBS Greek Reader's Edition New Testament bound in genuine leather. Burgundy. He wants it. And it's his. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. He crosses that horizon just like we cross that horizon about family. Realize afterward, oh my gosh, that was our last family Christmas, and he crosses the horizon, and they realize, oh, he's got some wisdom and insight. This is a teacher. Now, when they saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, son, why have you treated us this way?
Yeah, because I abandoned you.
Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you. And he said to them, why is it that you were looking for me? Didn't you know that I had to be in my father's house?
Wow.
Which is a little ironic considering she says, your father and I have been looking for you. It was, yeah, kind of, but wouldn't you think I'd get home? But they didn't understand the statement she made then. Crossed that horizon into being a little teacher. And that falls the rest of it. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he continued in subjection with them. And his mother treasured all these things in his heart. And Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature. And after they crossed this horizon, what are they back to? Back to the routines and back to life as usual. There's just that moment where, oh, we crossed it, and then it's back to, oh, get back on the donkey, go back to Nazareth, go back, you know, listen to your father when he tells you to, you know, clean up after the, and Mary's just watching in the patterns. We talked about the core over the last few weeks, and part of the core, what it means to be in the Christian faith, is that we're a faith of traditions. We have religious traditions. We're custodians of those traditions. We do the same thing over and over again. We do communion. We sing songs to God. We sing to someone that we can't see. We pray. We lay hands on people. We anoint them with oil. We dunk people in water. We say confessions. We give money. We do these patterns over and over and over again. We do the same old thing over and over again, and it's never the same old thing. It's always God taking us somewhere new, getting the same. You could ride the same train to work or bus to work every day, and it's not the same trip. It's always a unique journey. And that's what happens with us. It's the same old thing, always new. The kingdom of God is always new and always old. It's the same old church and the brand new church. And it's you getting up and doing your dumb little patterns with God. Just like I do my dumb little patterns, like I'm walking the beach praying again. How many times have I done this? About a billion times, right here. On this same beach that's not the same beach, and I'm not the same person, and the world's not in the same place, and this is totally new and old. Don't despise the boring things and the repetition. Because those will take you somewhere. If you maintain those boring little patterns with God, they will take you, and you will realize that you crossed a horizon somewhere, and you'll only realize it afterward. But if you don't maintain those, you will cross a horizon that scares you, and you will only realize it afterwards. Jesus put it this way in Mark. Mark chapter 4, verse 26. And he was saying, the kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil. Mark chapter 4, verse 26. And he was saying, the kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil. And he goes to bed at night, and he gets up by day, and the seed sprouts, and it grows. How? He doesn't know. And the soil produces crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, then the nape, then the mature grain in the head. But when the crop permits, he immediately puts in his sickle, and boom, harvests. Day by day, night by night, and the kingdom grows within you, and the kingdom grows in us in our silly little habits. and our silly little patterns that are always old and always new, doing exactly the same thing that's not at all the same thing. As we go into this new year, as we close out this old year, as we do Christmas again, as we go through church again, doing our Sunday things again, and by the way, yes, those donut holes look a lot like the donut holes that were here last week.
They might agree.
Singing the same Christmas songs the church has sung for a few hundred years now. Look for something new. Grab a hold of those cycles. Don't put your feet down and go, this is so boring, it's only vanity. Look for those cycles to change you. Yes, we probably will have to readdress issues that you have dealt with this many times in your life with Jesus. It's like, really? I'm back at that?
Yep.
And we'll see something new this time. We'll go back to that issue and we'll retouch it and we'll see you renewed again. And then again. And then again. And then again. We'll do it again. It's like, I got all the time. We'll get there. And we'll change. Something totally new. Because it could be boring or it could be just a bunch of second chances. Second Corinthians. Chapter 4. Actually, you can listen to all of you. For God, who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but life in you. But having the same spirit of faith, according to what's written, I believed, therefore I spoke, we also believe, therefore we also speak. Knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we don't lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which aren't seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which aren't seen are eternal. Been in this church for any amount of time, you probably will have heard this sermon or something like it. But I'm saying it again. And for us today, it's new. Let's go live our boring old patterns in completely new, exciting ways. On Sunday morning, please stand. To our tradition, may the Lord bless you, may the Lord keep you, may the Lord cause his face to shine on you. May the Lord be gracious to you, may he fill your hearts, may he fulfill your dreams. May he take you forward closer, conforming you to the image of himself with intimacy and grace and mercy and patience. May you know the Lord's satisfaction and his smile as we enter this new year. And all God's people said,
Amen. Amen.